Welcome to the United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is the show that brings you 26 different stories around Southwest Michigan in 26 weeks, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Want to know more about the work of the United Way? Visit uwsm.org.
Welcome to tonight's show. Our very first 26 at 6 show back in July focused on the long-term recovery and connection with the floods that happened in February. And tonight, we wanted to provide our community with an update. So with that, I'd like to welcome in my first guest this evening, Amanda Drew, who's the Director of Program and Evaluation at United Way. Amanda, you actually were not in the office at United Way in this role when the floods occurred in February. You started in this role in April.
That's correct. I was definitely thrown into this in April.
So we'll talk about your role with the flood recovery and the long-term recovery. But first, what's your story? How did you get to where you are today at United Way?
Sure. So I have been with United Way now for 8 years, and I started as the Great Start Collaborative Director in Berrien County. Before that, I was an administrative assistant at Berrien RESA, went to college at Grand Valley, and am currently a CMU master's degree program. I graduate in May. So yay.
And I know just a little fun fact about Amanda, just to put her into context in a personal, I know she was a ballroom dancer teacher.
Yes, I was in Florida. I was a ballroom and Latin dance instructor
Yeah.
for a year.
So she's going to be helping our staff with that.
No, that is not correct.
Okay. So you got involved with the long-term recovery really by default, because that was the position you walked into at United Way.
Absolutely.
What does the long-term recovery group do? What is that all about?
Sure. It's a group that comes together. There's different agencies that have been working on long-term recovery from the flood. And so we come together to reduce duplication of services and to help disperse the money that was donated into the community back into for the victims of the flood.
So what are some of the things that have been happening since the flood that you've seen, whether it's through the recovery group or some of the organizations outside?
Sure.
I know we're going to talk to a few others this evening, but from your perspective.
Sure. We've done a lot of different things. We've been able to clean out basements and replace some flooring and cabinets, doors, appliances. So a lot of great things have happened. There's still stuff that needs to be done, especially around foundations. But a lot of great work has been happening through the organizations that are part of the long-term recovery group.
So when the floods occurred, United Way went into action in partnership with the Berrien Community Foundation and set up a fund so that we could respond. We didn't know what the response was. We didn't know what would need to be.
Correct.
But we wanted to make sure that we had some discretionary funds to be able to set that, to respond. Do you know how much money was raised between the two organizations?
Yeah. Between the money raised at United Way of Southwest Michigan and the Berrien Community Foundation, thank you to the wonderful community that we live in, we raised over $44,000.
Wow.
Yes, it's been amazing.
And what are some of the things that the money has been used? And I know, again, we're going to talk a little bit more in detail on that, but
absolutely,
just as a high level, what are some of the things we've spent money on?
We've been able to use the money for mold inspections and testing at the mobile home park. We've been able to provide dumpsters for the families to be able to put the damaged items from their homes into. We were able to provide food for school-age children to be sent home with on the weekends during the flood. And again, the flooring and cabinets and doors and those kinds of things. And then we've also been working with the organizations that you'll hear from in a little bit, and they'll be able to give more information on that.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6, and I am speaking with Amanda Drew from United Way of Southwest Michigan. We're talking about that it's been nearly a year, almost a year, since the floods
about
occurred.
About 10 months.
We're talking about the long-term recovery. We're talking about the money that was raised. We raised $44,000 to be put back into the community in response to the flood. The other thing that I think is critical and important to talk about is just the breadth of volunteers that we've had respond to this work. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So we had volunteers right in the beginning go to the mobile home park and help clean out the mobile homes that were affected by the flood. We've also had volunteers go into the homes later on and help, you know, clean out the basements that have been flooded, and also to replace some of the flooring and those things that were damaged severely by the flood.
And one of the things that you said when I asked about what was the money spent on, and you talked about dumpsters and you talked about the mold inspection. And, you know, to when we think about our reaction to the flood, I don't think those are the first things we think about.
Right.
I think some of the first things we think about are personal items of individuals. But in order for people to get back into their homes, some of these things are what are critical.
Yeah, the mold inspections were critical for those families. You can't go back into your home, or we don't want you to go back into your home if there's going to be health hazards later on because of the mold. So luckily we were able to work with a company to provide mold testing and inspections on those mobile home parks and a few other homes in Niles as well.
And for those reasons, it's why it's called long-term recovery.
Long-term recovery. It takes a long time. And in fact, you know, we're still in this 10 months later, but this is still a reality for some of those families that were affected by the flood. You know, there's still work that needs to be done.
So I want to, and we're going to hear more about that this evening. Sure. I want to go back and I know that Whirlpool did a match type fundraiser for donations, is that correct as well?
They've done donations of appliances.
Oh, okay.
So they've donated so far almost $7,500 in appliances. That includes 3 washing machines, 5 dryers, 2 refrigerators, and 2 stoves. And they're currently working on getting a couple of more to families.
Well, and right there is a huge contribution to the community, because those appliances are not cheap.
Absolutely.
And the minute that water touched them, basically, they were damaged.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that was part of the, obviously, having to get out of the spaces and what can we do to get back in. Why are we still talking about this?
Because, like I said, this is still a reality for a lot of the individuals. They still have damaged foundations. We still have a couple who have no electricity and no water. So it's long term. It really is what long term recovery means. It takes a long time for this to happen, and we're going to continue to meet to discuss what needs to be done to help these individuals and families. And we'll continue to meet to put together processes and plans for the future. So if this ever happens again, and we know that we'll eventually probably have another disaster in Berrien County, we want to make sure that we have a plan for the future, and, you know, processes in place so that these agencies can all work together and help people who are affected by the disasters.
And I think in our last segment tonight, we're going to talk to Rocky Adams a little bit about what that future looks like so that we can be better prepared.
Absolutely. He'll be able to give more insight into that and, you know, what still needs to be done. I can also say that if anybody out there works on foundations and is willing to donate some time and their funding, we would really appreciate it. We do have some individuals that we cannot help because their foundations have been damaged so severely, and it's very expensive work, and we don't have anybody that's been able to help them. So
we're still looking for some people to step up and help in
absolutely.
A variety of ways.
Absolutely.
Amanda, what touched you about this disaster, if you will, and being that you stepped into United Way kind of cold on this,
right.
what's resonated with you?
Sure. So I was watching the flood happen in Berrien Springs when I was in the Berrien Springs office, or at RESA in a different position, and it was just scary. It was scary, and so I really felt for those individuals that were affected by the flood. And realize that it could happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of weeks later, we had rain or water in our house, not to this degree. So I feel for those families that have been affected, and I can't imagine every time that it rains how they feel. It's a scary situation.
Well, thank you for your work that you do with United Way and in our community and with this long-term recovery work. We thank Amanda Drew for joining us this evening. When we return, we'll continue our conversation on this long-term recovery effort from the February floods. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined in the studio now by Sandy Klink and Yvonne Veit from Southwest Michigan Community Action Agency. They are both here to talk about their roles in the recovery and the response to the floods that occurred back in February. But first, I want to get to know both of them a little bit. I always like our audience to know who they're talking to. So I'll start with Sandy. So kind of what's your path? How did you get to where you are today at Community Action Agency? And I know you've been there a while because I've known you a while.
17 years.
Wow.
It's been a long time. But yes, I was a stay-at-home mom, and then I came to the agency. Applied for a job, and then I have moved up and am now.
What's your role there?
Weatherization manager.
And what does that mean?
A lot of people don't know what weatherization is. It was created to basically help low to moderate income families lower their utility consumption by weatherizing their home. And by doing that, we're helping them achieve economic self-sufficiency. Weatherization has one of the most advanced technologies and testing procedures available in the housing industry today. And the weatherization program has a responsibility to improve the quality of life for all low to moderate income households. And the entire cost of any of this is covered. It's paid for by a grant from the Department of Energy down to the state of Michigan.
And then the Community Action Agency manages it, and you're the one that kind of administers it at Community Action Agency.
Right, and there's 29 Community Action Agencies in Michigan.
Yep. Well, welcome to the show. We'll talk a little bit more about your role and what you did in response to the flood. I want to welcome Yvonne Veit to the show. Yvonne, I've known you a long time as well.
Yes.
How long have you been at Community Action Agency?
I've been at the agency for over 20 years.
I was going to say, because I've been at United Way for 20, so I've known you.
Have you?
Yes.
Yeah. Know that.
And what's your role there?
I am the emergency services manager.
What does that mean?
That means all the programs that no one else wants to run.
Oh. Is that food?
That's food and emergency services for electric and gas, Toys for Tots.
Okay.
I also oversee the warehouse in Benton Harbor with two food programs. And I also oversee the Decatur shelter.
Oh, okay. All right. And what did you do just before you came to Community Action Agency?
Before I came to Community Action Agency, I actually started out in hospitality, and then I went to a nonprofit, which is Michigan Works.
Oh, yep.
And I followed my program manager, and she went to Van Cass Cap, if
That's
you
right.
remember that
yep.
name. And then that was changed to Southwest Michigan Community Action Agency.
Well, welcome, both of you. You are with an organization that we reached out to fairly quickly, or that you responded fairly quickly to some of the flood needs. What did your organization do to help in the long-term recovery? What were some of the things that the Community Action Agency helped with?
Well, right at the beginning, we ended up taking a drive down there. I think it was the week after. And we saw the devastation ourselves. And then we went back and approached our grant managers and asked for additional monies. We couldn't believe that the information we were hearing were only one or two families were affected. But after we were actually down there and walked around, we knew it was a bigger issue.
What you said you both drove down there. What were your immediate reactions to this?
Well, I'm the emotional one, so I go, I just couldn't believe it. I go, there's really some issues down here with the housing and the damage and the resources for food, and just everything was going through my mind. And then doing case management, I actually heard the stories, and they were individuals that had invested all their money into their home, thinking they were going to be there for the rest of their lives, and now they had no resources after this disaster.
And Sandy, I want to get your response in just one second here. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I'm here with Yvonne Veit and Sandy Klink from the Southwest Michigan Community Action Agency. Sandy, what was your when you drove down there, what was your initial response? How did you feel?
It's people refer to it as the park. I refer to it as a community, mm-hmm. because that to me was a community that a lot of people were affected by that. I didn't meet the people at that time. Meeting them and talking to them was really the eye opener. You know, I'll never forget the lady that walked in when we set up stations there, and she had lost everything. And to meet these people and talk to these people, you could see the devastation, but not to the impact that after you talk to them, their stories.
And you heard their stories. When you were there and you were talking to people, there were a couple of things that Community Action Agency was responsible for. And I believe one of those things was mold testing, and another might have been the weatherization. Who wants to talk about the mold testing?
Well, we met with the building inspector that had mandated mold testing.
Okay.
So we mold tested the units that he required that be conducted on. And then anyone that applied for the weatherization assistance program, we did that mold testing as well. And Yvonne then did some at client's request.
We did some. The mold testing was important because we couldn't move forward with the weatherization.
Okay.
So Sandy and I were working together and we were communicating. And if she had an issue, then I would reach out to the community so that we could proceed. We ended up doing 11 homes, mold testing for 11 homes through the weatherization. And then we did another 18 for just residents that wanted to see where they stood as far as the mold. And their
which is
resident.
A good thing, because we don't want people to go back in
thing.
Being sick. And the mold testing, that was part where some of the funds were raised. That's how we paid for some of those things, right?
That's correct. And Without that, we could not have gone forward.
So, and then the weatherization, again, is a grant. And are you still doing work around weatherization or mold testing in the community down there? Or has that all been completed?
Well, she's done, but I still have a presence.
Okay.
We're still bringing food down and still going to do emergency services, electric and gas. We're always going to have a presence down there.
And you said the numbers that you've served, talk again about how many were mold tested, how many were weatherization? How many people did we serve?
We weatherized 11 homes.
Okay.
Those were the people that actually were impacted, we felt, the most. We did have four others that applied, but their homes were beyond the scope of what we could do.
Okay.
And when we met with the people, you know, they were going back in the homes and they were wanting to clean out the insulation. And we're like, no, please, you know, we're trained to do that. So just be patient. If you know, we will be there. It doesn't happen overnight. But we weatherized those 11 homes, and I had to write a grant. We called the state. Mm-hmm. You
okay,
know.
So you got additional dollars from the state to...
Sandy a lot spent, of additional dollars okay. from the
over,
state.
Okay. Sandy spent over $200,000
wow.
in the park. And then we also, when we got into the weatherization part, we ended up running into plumbing issues. And that's when we reached out to the funders again.
Okay. So you went in, you did some assessment, and you started, you're thinking you're going to go in and do these, you know, this prescribed weatherization or mold testing, and you start to uncover lots of other things that really put some complexity to the situation that we had. And I think you said something about people and needing to be patient, and all they want to do is get back in their home and have some normalcy in their life, and it was completely disrupted. Why is this work so important to you?
We do weatherization every day. We've done it. I've done it for 17 years. It's a part of who Community Action is, and it's. We'll continue to do it at the park. There's money available, not to the extent that we had to do the flooded mobile homes, but it's available to anyone out there that wants to apply, and you know, follows the guidelines, poverty income guidelines.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Yvonne Veit and Sandy Klink from Southwest Michigan Community Action Agency, for joining us here this evening. We have more to come on the long-term recovery effort from the February floods, so don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined now by Tammy Stanton from First Presbyterian Church of Niles and Laura Meyer from Neighbor to Neighbor in Berrien Springs as we continue our conversation on the long-term recovery effort from the February floods. Welcome to the show, ladies. How
Hi,
are you?
Thanks.
Good.
Doing well.
I want our audience to know who we're talking to, so I'm going to go to each of you, and I just want you to introduce yourself as kind of where did you come from? How did you get to where you are and just kind of your path or your backstory. Tammy, I'll start with you.
Sure. I'm Tammy Stanton. I work for First Presbyterian Church in Niles. I'm a social work graduate from Grand Valley University, and I worked for Goodwill Industries of Michiana for 4 years in their employment industry. I worked with persons with disabilities. And from there, I stayed home a little while with my kids and worked with Niles Community Schools for about a decade.
Okay. And then, so are you still working with the schools or you're just at the...
I'm taking a break right now, but I kind of have plans to go back.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Laura, who are you?
I'm Laura from Neighbor to Neighbor. And about 15 years ago, I was homeschooling our youngest two children and decided that service should be a component of that. And so I started volunteering with them at Neighbor to Neighbor, and that transitioned into full-time employment.
So Neighbor to Neighbor has been around for a while because...
It's been around a long time.
Right.
It's actually been around close to 100 years, obviously not as Neighbor to Neighbor, but as a community services in Berrien Springs.
And are you the executive director?
That's correct.
So you've worked yourself into that?
Yes, I've been executive director, and we're volunteer-based. We have over 100 volunteers that make it all happen.
That's awesome. Volunteers are important, aren't they?
They're very important.
Yeah. So you... Both got involved in the recovery work of the disaster that happened in February.
We did.
What do you remember about February 22nd, when the waters began rising? How did you react on a personal level? Who wants to go first?
Well, our church was called to be an emergency shelter. And so I got a call because I happened to be an elder, and they were asking, would that be okay with me? And they kind of did a phone survey. And the Red Cross dropped off a large unit, and then they picked it up, and they took it away. And we thought, what happened here? they made some changes and went up to Berrien Springs. And in the process of that, we started talking about what could we do as a church? We have this very large facility. How could we still be involved with this? And as we started talking to people that had been affected by the flood, we saw the extent of the damage. We saw the that, you know, people were coming to us and they were clearly in the midst of cleaning. And they certainly needed help. And so we opened up our doors to have a multi-resource, they call it a MARC.
Sure.
And so we had a lot of resources that came in, and we provided those for the community. And that's when we really started to hear the stories and figured out how we could reach out and help them.
Was this the first time that your church responded to something like this? Or is that a norm? I know we don't have a lot of disasters, and we're thankful for that. But is this a normal practice of the church, or is this something new that your church really got into and you really didn't know what to expect?
We really didn't know what to expect. Community outreach is a normal thing for us to do. We have a food pantry where we deliver groceries to seniors one Sunday a month. We have a kid's closet that has diapers and that are very inexpensive and used clothing. And so we're used to reaching out into the community and helping folks. But hosting a MARC was a whole new level of fun.
Okay. Laura, what was your first response, whether it was personal or organizationally? What was the first response?
Well, going into work, I saw that the river was really getting high, and we started getting word, and people came by neighbor to neighbor and were telling us we had to be evacuated. And that's when we realized that River Springs Estate with 200 families had been completely evacuated. And we got a glimpse of how large this was going to be, because we started thinking, these people, you know, they came and told us, okay, I left with what I could throw in my car. I'm going to need X and Y. And then others said, I was at work. You know, they called us and said, I'm at work. I just found out I have no home to go to. I'm going to, you know, need things. And so we began to think, how can we help? And how can we utilize our facilities and our volunteers? Because it could be 600 people or more that were going to need clothing and maybe toiletries, household items. So a lot went through our heads, and how this is what we're here for, but we don't usually do it on this scope.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I'm here with Tammy Stanton from First Presbyterian Church of Niles and Laura Meyer from Neighbor to Neighbor. We are talking about the response to the floods that occurred on February 22nd, kind of getting an idea of what their first responses were, both personally and organizationally. How did you get involved in the long-term recovery work, either one of you?
We've partnered with United Way for a long time, and so when groups started to get together, how can we network? How can we help? What resources are available? What needs are there? That was, we started meeting and just trying to determine who had what and what the needs were. And so that was how it started. And it's been ongoing, as Amanda said earlier, because it's, you know, you think, okay, how long is this? You don't realize it's going to be a year, and you're going to still try to get people back to a new normal.
Sure, sure. Tammy, how did you get involved with the long-term recovery?
Well, things just kind of kept going after we had the multi-agency resource center at our church. We had we were just invited to meetings, and we were invited to bring some things into our facility. We had Goodwill Industries bring a very large truck full of clean water and bleach and cleaning supplies and buckets, and all of a sudden we were in the business of putting together flood buckets and partnering with the City of Niles, delivering them out in the community. We brought the Boy Scouts in to fill them up. And, you know, each meeting we went to, we're like, oh, well, okay, we can do that and we can do that. And we're still here.
And so what are some of the things that your organizations or you individually are continuing to do to help individuals that have been impacted by the flood? Tammy, what are some of the things that you or your church are still doing?
Well, my position is case management.
Okay.
So I have a caseload of about 18 families right now that are actively still working on their home That may mean that they're trying to get back into their home. That may mean that they are under construction right now. They're in different phases. Some of them are applying for funding because they need $10,000 to repair that wall that completely crumbled, and they can't live in their structure until they get funding for that. And you would think that it would be a whole lot easier than it is, but it kind of comes down to who's on the deed and whether it's a land contract and some of those trickier questions. So my job is to help them navigate that and to kind of lead them from wherever they're at, hopefully back to a new normal where they can move back into their house. And, you know, we're just thrilled when somebody does move back into their home and is able to get back on with their life.
And these 18 that you're case managing right now, are these families or individuals that live in the Niles area? Or
all over Berrien County,
so
and a little into Cass, too.
Okay, and are these homes, or, I mean, single-family unit homes, or are these mobile homes that we're in? Okay, so these are all...
I'm working on, brick-and-mortar homes, single-family units. I don't work with anyone who rents, and I don't... and it has helped us to kind of set... That Laura is going to take care of the mobile homes. She's going to kind of take care of Berrien Springs, and then everything around Berrien Springs I take care of.
Okay, that makes sense. So, Laura, what are some of the things that your organization is still doing to help families that have been displaced or affected?
Besides, obviously, the immediate needs, then there's the cleanup, and now you have a home that's cleaned up, you need things in it. So we've been trying to help people with the furnishings. Some of them lost, like, their wall air conditioners. You don't think about that. When that humidity hit this summer, people were saying, oh, my unit got left or flooded. So we helped with that. We also have helped people with appliances in partnership with United Way and Whirlpool. And people have been very appreciative to get a washer and dryer and some other appliances. So it's just filling those homes and making a new home for them, because some of them had to go to a different unit. And so they had nothing.
Well, I know these families truly appreciate the work that you do. United Way appreciates the work that you do. Just a last thought as we close out the segment. Why is this work so important to you?
It's very difficult for a family that has a lot of other things to think about besides rebuilding their house, like going to work and getting the kids off to school, to really focus on what needs to happen. So it's my job to help them kind of cross that finish line with a bit of support to help volunteers connect with them and to be able to provide resources.
Excellent. Thank you.
These are our neighbors, and, you know, these are people we work with often, and just to see them suffering and not having a place to go, it's just really been able for us to be able to help them on an ongoing basis, and we're there for the long term, and we just hope we can meet more needs in the future.
Well, I want to thank you both, Tammy Stanton and Laura Meyer, for joining us this evening. You have done some excellent work. Keep up the good work. I know we'll still see you at the long-term recovery table. We have to go to break, but when we return, we'll continue our conversation on the long-term recovery effort from the February flood, so stay tuned.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6. I'd like to welcome into the studio Rucky Adam from the Berrien County Sheriff's Office. So we are on the best behavior in the studio tonight. He's going to help continue our conversation on long-term recovery effort in connection with the floods back in February. So, Rocky, I just want you to... I said you're from the Berrien County Sheriff's Department. I didn't say that you were in, like, full uniform, so they don't know what you do. So let's talk about who you are, what do you do, and how did you get there?
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me first. Well, I'm the emergency management coordinator for the county, and we have responsibilities over emergency planning and homeland security planning as well. So I started out really young within the department at 18 years old, and I'm into my about 18th year now.
So that you can probably do some math. Do the math. I can actually do that simple math and know exactly how old you are.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started out taking on some patrol responsibilities, spent a little bit of time assigned in the jail as well, and took on some collateral duties as a hazmat technician and a bomb technician.
Wow.
And so it was kind of a logical progression to get into emergency management and planning and response operations for the department.
Is that the role that, was it Mike Bradley
that
had for a long time?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes,
very good. All
absolutely.
Right. So what do you remember about February 22nd and the few days leading up to the water that was rising?
Absolutely. So we actually had this kind of on our radar for when snow was on the ground.
Sure.
This was in February, and we knew that there were some accumulations of snow, and we knew that a lot of rain was coming this way, and I think our forecasters and meteorologists did put it on everybody's radar that there's going to be a lot of rain coming. Mm-hmm. Mixed with snow melting. And although we didn't get the massive amounts of rain that came, they were south of us. The rivers drain into the entire St. Joe drainage system. So we knew that the river levels were going to be pretty high. It's kind of guesswork. They were close, but not exactly on how high they were going to raise. There's a lot of different variables that go into that. So we were really just trying to get the word out and make people aware that this was coming, and there was going to be some heavy river rise.
Do you know how high it actually got?
It was about 17 feet. It was record levels. So we had never seen it get that high ever before. It was about 2 feet higher than the past record.
And what were some of the lessons that you learned? Let me go back. How long have you been in the role of emergency manager?
It's been about 4 years.
Okay. And had you seen anything? We hadn't had anything to this magnitude in that, at least in that 4 years.
No, we had a few tornadoes and some damage when it comes to that, but not flooding.
So what were some of the things that you learned from this experience, this flooding experience?
Well, there was a couple of things that we learned from it, and they were good and bad. The community really did have a lot of resiliency mm-hmm. that was built in. So as we were going through, a lot of people were fairly self-sufficient, but then we found that there were also a lot of people that didn't have family plans ahead of time. And, they might have seen the information where they knew that there was going to be some flooding, but they may not have realized that it was going to continue to rise and what the overall impact would be. So I think a lot of it comes down to really just making sure that we've got a good message of family planning ahead so that you can evacuate if there are emergency conditions that are unsafe for you quickly. To be able to do that. And also some self-awareness, making sure that you're watching the weather reports and you're getting the information through a number of different alerting methods so that you know what's going on around you. There were some flags that people, if they were paying attention, would have known a couple of days ahead of time that it was going to be significant.
We also saw an enormous amount of community response through volunteerism. And I think that one of the things that I took away from it was that when we ask, we get a response. Mm-hmm. And, where we don't want these disasters to happen, what we do want is to know that our community will be there when we need them. And I think that that was a true demonstration of that.
Yeah, I can agree with that wholly. There were a lot of community organizations, a lot of volunteers that came out and helped and pitched in. With that, another lesson learned was just when it comes to the coordination of groups that we may not have been aware of, to make sure that we identify all those community partners and help get them all together so that it's a pretty coordinated effort and give the volunteers a good direction too of where to go.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about long-term recovery. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I'm speaking with Rocky Adams from the Berrien County Sheriff's Department. Sheriff's Office, it says. Is it office or department?
It is an office.
All right. Mm-hmm. The Berrien County Sheriff's Office. Rocky is the emergency manager coordinator for Berrien County. And we're talking about the response to the floods that happened in February. So a long-term recovery, or actually, I know that at first it was just a recovery group, but it has turned into a long-term recovery effort, if you will. Talk a little bit about what long-term recovery looks like for the future in Berrien County.
Yeah, absolutely. So recovery is a really broad topic, and a lot of what we're talking about tonight is is looking at individual assistance or helping out the families that are out there. Broadening it for the county from our perspective, it also comes into public programs that we have as well. We still do have some road projects that are ongoing where we're shoring up some of the roads and culverts, some of the drainage systems that are out there. And so that's a whole separate piece out there. We got to bring those two worlds together and make sure that is a coordinated effort between the public recovery programs that we have out there and the individual assistance. So we're really looking at partner agencies like the United Way to help build networks of networks so that we can deliver these services fairly efficiently and people, when they need help, kind of have a one-stop shop, and they don't have to answer the questions to five different agencies if it can be coordinated.
So I'm understanding that there will be maybe some written processes put into place so that we can easily go to a standard operating guideline and say, although we know that no disasters are the same as the last, or similar as each other, but we've got to have some go-tos to at least get us started. And I'm understanding that that's kind of where some of the next work is going to happen as well.
Absolutely. So I equate it almost to like our 911 dispatch center too. So there's a lot of different resources that could be dispatched to an emergency. Same concept for recovery. So getting everything into that central location and then being able to connect through the different network partners that are out there, I think will be important. Now, during this incident, the flooding worked well. It did work well, but I think there are some improvements that we can make.
Well, so, we can always learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it was the first time some of us had even been at a table like this. So we can always learn from that. Why is it important that we're still talking about long-term recovery?
Well, I can tell you that we are going to have another disaster down the road. I mean, there are a lot of natural events that occur and even technological accidents that happen. And, if we don't prepare for them in the future and improve, just like you had indicated, then we won't be prepared for the future and we won't have that resiliency that's built in. We live in a great area and we want to keep it that way.
You said something a second ago about individual resiliency and individual planning. If there's one thing that you could say to an individual or family to be better prepared, what is that? Maybe it's not just one thing. Maybe it's a couple tips. What would that be?
Yeah. So there's a few tools that are out there. Ready.gov has a lot of tools out there where you can take some checklists and build an emergency kit so that you could leave if there is an evacuation pretty quickly. Many people in Berrien County will be getting a mailing here pretty soon. That's a very well done calendar that's got a lot of really good information in it. Certainly reading through that, that's got a lot of good tips in there. We have some programs that are available too that people can sign up for to get alerts directly to either their phone or email or however they want to sign up for it, called Be Warn. And if you go to our webpage, you can learn how to sign up for those types of things. So being aware, being prepared ahead of time, and using some of those tools to be able to prepare for the future. For flooding specific insurance, looking into flood insurance is really a big big tip.
Well, you have been tremendous support for this work. I know that's your role on a daily basis, but great partner to United Way, and United Way sitting at the table. It's critical for us to be in that space. The work is ongoing. The website is still up, the uwsm.org. So there's still an opportunity out there if somebody has a passion for the response that we've been working on. You can still give to that. I want to thank you, Rocky Adams, from the Berrien County Sheriff's Office, for joining us this evening, along with all of our guests. If you want to know more about United Way of Southwest Michigan, visit us at uwsm.org. United Way fights for the health, education, financial stability of every person in Southwest Michigan. I'm Anna Murphy. Thanks for joining the fight.
The United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.